You're listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and we're coming to you live from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today we have Afi Tuawe joining us. Welcome, Afi.
Jason, good morning. Nice to be with you again.
It's great to have you joining us from Northwest today. How's the weather up there today?
Yeah, it's lovely, Jason. I mean, it's overcast. It's a bit cold, but that's Tassie weather.
I think I think the forecast for down here is going to be something like 28 degrees, 27. So it's going to be warm today for us.
Extreme. That's extreme, Jason.
Afi, normally we have...
it's very nice.
Normally we have Mark Falconer on with us, but he's been unable to attend today, so thank you for stepping in and doing this program.
Not a problem.
With us. Last week we've been looking at the Holy Spirit over a period of many weeks, and last week we looked at a different aspect of it, clean but empty, the passage from Matthew chapter 7. As we get into today's program, I'd remind our listeners that we've got our show number 0488 880 891. That's just for Tassie Encounters. 0488 880 891. We'd love to text you. We'd love for you to text us in. Tell us where you're listening from today. We've got a question coming up. We've got a book offer coming up. So we'd love to hear from you. So do grab that number, write it down, 0488 880 891. Afi, do you want to kick us off today with a recap of where we're going, and then we'll have a look at what we've got today?
Sure. Yeah, before I do, Jason, I just want to shout out to Mark Falconer and his wife, Debbie, who are not well, as you know, pray that they will recover very soon. So, Jason, as you said, you know, we've been looking at the role of the Holy Spirit in the last few weeks, and really it's coming from the study from Matthew 25 dealing with the parable of the 10 virgins. And as we are all aware, that you have the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins, and the 5 foolish virgins, they lacked oil when the time comes for Jesus to return. And as we know, the parable ends that way with the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. And because the 5 foolish virgins lacked oil, they were not able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, sorry, I do not know you. And so that's where the premise of the study is coming from. It's just a question that I've been asking. Why is it that the 5 foolish virgins lack oil? And the oil represents that of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been dealing with. How is it that we can lack the Holy Spirit in our lives before Jesus comes? And because the reason for the parable focuses on what is going on in your life and before Jesus returns, or what's going in, what's happening in the church you may be attending before Jesus returns. And so we've looked at previously the parable of Matthew 25. We've looked at Paul and himself, the Apostle Paul, and his journey. That particularly in Acts 19, when he interacted with the 12 disciples of John, who were baptized in the baptism of John the Baptist, but did not have the Holy Spirit. We looked at Revelation chapter 3, dealing with the Laodicean church, the story of Elisha's bones, which was a great story, and story of Samson, a couple of stories there about his life and the role of the Holy Spirit and there. And also Revelation chapter 7, as you said, Jason, looking at that miracle story of the man who was demon-possessed. And then the miracle story ends with that parable from verse 44, where Jesus talks about how this house, talking about the man, was swept clean, but then it was just left empty. And how we can, in our own lives, can be doing the right things as a Christian or as a believer, but we're not filling ourselves. And what happens in the end of that parable, Jesus says that the demon or the devil comes back, sees the house is clean, left empty, grabs another 7 friends, and they come and they refill that and cause havoc in that person's life. And so point being, we need the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, to continue to lead us and guide us in our journey with the Lord, especially if we're waiting for the day that Jesus to return. And then there was this quote that from the inspired writer, Ellen G. White, in Patriarchs and Prophets, her book there, page 599, which I like to read again, which it says that if all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension and death. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power, which is necessary for the growth and prosperity of the church and which would bring all other blessings in its train, is lacking, though offered an infinite plenitude. Since there is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? And that really sort of summarizes the situation of the five foolish virgins and why it's important, the need of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So today, Jason, I'd like us to take, for us to look at another story that's also found in Acts chapter 19. But this time it's about the 7 sons of Sceva and the Holy Spirit. And I've entitled this presentation, Jesus I Know, Paul I Know, But Who Are You? Jesus I Know, Paul I Know, But Who Are You? And it's found there in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 to 20. And Jason, would you like to read those verses for us, please?
Sure. It says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over to those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, whom Paul preaches." Sorry, I missed, I skipped a line there. "Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?' Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed."
Amen. So, Jason, we know that the Holy Spirit is a source of action who gives us power in the last days, cleanses us that we may receive Christ fully in our lives, gives us that power to stand for truth, and the Holy Spirit helps us even to rear our own children. The Holy Spirit, as we know, helps us to see good even in the worst moments. And that's why it's interesting that we have this peculiar situation in Acts 19, which you read from verse 11, and to get full context of what is happening, God was doing extraordinary miracles through Paul, that even when aprons and handkerchiefs touched him, diseases departed from the sick. I mean, can you imagine that? That's incredible. This would put doctors out of business.
It's a little bit like the story of the bones that we read previously.
That's right, of Elisha. Just it's one of those miraculous stories that you read from the Bible. You know, so the Holy Spirit taking aprons and handkerchiefs and diseases were leaving the sick. And the Bible is just something else, as you were just saying, Jason, with the story of Elisha that we talked about. And then what we see is that we get connected to these sort of scallywags, these sons of Sceva, certain vagabond Jews that the KJV, I like the KJV, how it brings out this story, because it uses words that, you know, we never would use before. And one of these is the vagabond Jews that they're in verse 13 and 14. And it tells us, the Bible, that these seven sons of Sceva, they're exorcists who took upon themselves this craft. And they seen Paul taking clothes, put it on the sick and the folk, and then they become well. And so these vagabonds who see this going on, the Bible says that they took it upon themselves to call over them those who had evil spirits.
Mm.
In other words, this is what's happening. If rags, they're saying, if rags can do it, surely we also have the power. And so to call over them which have evil spirits by the name of the Lord Jesus, they say, okay, we're going to take this on. I mean, if Paul's healing folk with rags, look, we're going to take on these evil spirits, and saying, don't mess with us because we can do it ourselves. And so after the break, Jason, we'll come back to the story and see what happens next.
Absolutely. We've got a question for you today. Have you ever experienced a positive change since getting to know Jesus? We'd love to hear from you. So do text us in. 0488880891 is the number. Have you experienced a positive change since getting to know Jesus? Tell us about it. We'd love to hear from you. This is Leanna Crawford in Essential Worship with Jesus Is.
When I hang by a thread at the end of my rope, when I'm losing my grip and I've lost all hope, along comes the strength beyond my control. Oh, that's what Jesus is. With the scoundrels and drunkards, lepers and me, on a hill far away between a couple of thieves, the last place on earth you think he would be, but that's right where Jesus is.
Listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and this morning we're speaking with Afi Tuawai, And we're looking at this passage in Acts chapter 19, and we've just read about these people, the vagabonds. We looked it up in the break. Arfi, the definition of a vagabond is a person who wanders from place to place without a home or a job. So these sons of Sceva were people who wandered around, I guess, preying on people, perhaps, you know, finding people who they could earn some money from. So, yeah.
And I think if we were to, you know, put into today's context, they're probably more like scammers, really, and trying to just to earn money, just scamming people, and being exorcists, trying, you know, and especially in the town of Ephesus, which was a city where a lot of pagan worship was happening, and this kind of thing, where they would gain probably a good income by scamming people, trying to, you know, exorcise the devil from them or evil spirits from them, and from that kind of city they were living in. But it's interesting, Jason, that as they were doing this, they come across Paul. And they probably saw that, hey, Paul's got a different method of earning, seeing that he was able to heal people just by, as we mentioned, by just having handkerchiefs or clothing put on them, and not realizing that it's the power of God that was able to perform these miracles.
And, of course, he was using the name of Jesus to do that. So they thought,
that's right.
Let's do what he's doing.
That must be a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting as the story continues. And so they call unto the evil spirits. And the KJV and uses these words, "We adjure you by Jesus who Paul preacheth." And you get the setting now from there, from verse 14 and what's happening, but it's really verse 15 that really sets the chapter for us today, because the demon spirits responds to the seven sons of Sceva, who said in verse 13, and it's interesting, the different wordings, different Bible versions use, and from verse 13, and the New King James Version says, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Mm. The Contemporary English Version says, "Come out in the name of that same Jesus that Paul preaches about." Mm. The NIV says, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches," and the KJV, as I mentioned, says, "I adjure you." And Jason, you were saying you looked at the word adjure.
Yeah.
And
it means to urge or request solemnly or earnestly to do something.
So they're saying, "I urge you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." And then it's interesting because verse 15, the demon spirit responds therefore to these seven sons of Sceva. And they say, as the title of our study today is, "Well, we know Jesus. We've heard of Paul, but who are you?" And I just find that, you know, I know probably at the time this probably wasn't funny, but I find it quite hilarious that the devil responds that way back to them. "Jesus, we know. We've heard of Paul. But who are you?" And
almost questioning their authority to
exactly
do what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point, Jason. He's questioning what is the authority to try and exorcise them from this man or this person that he is, as we looked at last week, he's occupying his home, his house, his body. And so Jesus, we know him, and the Greek is the word gnesko. And for Paul is the word, Greek word is eupistami, which means I'm acquainted with him. The devil says, "I'm acquainted with Paul." And the devil is saying, "But you fellas, we don't know you." Trying to be all spiritual and stuff. "I don't know you." And so the Bible says that the demon strips them buck naked. I mean, the devil gets so mad, he strips them buck naked and they flee from that house. Mm. Or as another translation puts it, they got out of there as best as they could. And the devil is saying, "The problem I'm having is with who are you? is you know, that's what the problem is. They were saying who you are is the problem. And as we're dealing with the Holy Spirit today, and that's the story of what we're dealing with and looking at today, Jason. But there's another truth that sometimes we probably don't think about, and it's revealed there, and we're just going to move to the Old Testament, looking at how Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 10 fits in with our story here in Acts chapter 19. And so, Jason, would you mind reading Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 10 for us, please?
Sure. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land."
It's interesting, Jason. Look, because in verse 7, there's this revealing truth. Because God says, the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come from?"
Yeah.
And Satan says, "Well, you know, I've just been going to and fro on the earth, walking back and forth." And you know, in other words, Satan's saying, "I am the ruler of this planet. And I just come from there, and I've just been roaming back and forth."
Mm.
And this passage really should make us a bit nervous, because as the devil is saying, I'm just been out strolling. And I'm just strolling where your community is. I'm just strolling where they sound material, where they should not be looking at. And so, in other words, the Bible is trying to tell us the devil's roaming around where we are. And that's why God says there in verse 8, "Well, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" And then, as you read, Jason, verse 9 and 10, that Satan replies that, well, the only reason why that Job is blameless and upright and one that fears you is because you put this hedge around him.
Mm.
And the point I'm making here, Jason, is the first truth is that we know that God knows us. He knows our wives. He knows our children. He knows our families. But the second truth is this also, is this as well, that the devil is also full of knowledge of you and your family. God goes, "I know Job." Oh, sorry, the devil goes, "I know Job, God, because you protect him."
Mm.
And this is really important for us, Jason, and for our listeners, that we need to recognize this, that most scholars have decided that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible written before Genesis and probably written by Moses. But to think on this then, if that is true, then if Job is the first book in the Bible, then in the first book in the Bible, in the first chapter, the knowledge of God about man and the knowledge of Satan about man are introduced hand in hand. And that's the second truth that we need to understand, because both truths go together.
Mm.
Because the devil is talking and he's saying, "Jesus I know, Paul I'm acquainted with, but who are you?"
Mm.
And we'll come back to Acts 19 in a minute. And I just want to bring another chapter here, Jason. I'm sorry, another book here from the Bible. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you'd like to read those verses for us, please.
Sure.
Zechariah chapter 3, 1 and 2.
"And then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?'"
And so we know the setting here of Zechariah chapter 3 is that of a judgment is taking place. The high priest there is Jesus, is representing God's people. And he's there standing with Zechariah. and resisting his case or resisting Zechariah or being the prosecuting attorney is that none other than the devil, who, by the way, is both prosecutor and witness.
Mm.
And how do I know that? Well, we go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. If you'd like to read that verse for us, please, Jason.
Sure. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down."
Our accuser day and night. And the devil carries around a portfolio on you and I. And there's no vile thought, no evil thing or terrible deed which you and I have done, which he has not witnessed. And that's the point that of the story of Job and here of Zechariah and Revelation is pointing out to us, and how it connects to Acts 19 is that the devil knows us well, just as God knows us well.
Mm.
And the devil knows whether we are spiritual or whether we're not, whether we are connected more to him or whether we are more connected to God. And so after the break, Jason, we'll come back and we'll continue on in the story of Acts 19.
Absolutely. Our question for you today, have you experienced a positive change since getting to know Jesus? Tell us about it. We'd love to hear from you. Do text us in on 0488 880 891. Our book offer today is by Ty Gibson, See With New Eyes. So stay tuned for more details in the next section about that. Right now, this is Eleni with Fear Is a Liar.
When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire, 'cause fear a liar. When he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty, should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Fear, he is a liar. He'll take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
You're listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and we're speaking with Afi Tuawoi and looking at the story in Acts chapter 19. And we got to this passage, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And that's the title of our program today. And yeah, we read a few other passages there. Interesting how Satan here is often called the accuser, isn't he, in the Bible? Mm. And I find that I think that's one of the objectives of Satan, is to accuse us, to say that we are not good enough, that we can't we can't be saved because, you know, we're imperfect.
So, and as you said, Jason, you know, there in Revelation 12 you read, you know, he does accuse us day and night.
Mm.
And we are so thankful we have Jesus, who is always by our side. He's the one that stands for us and not ourselves. And that's where, you know, why in our passage today in Revelation 19 and verse 15, where, you know, the devil responds and he says, Jesus I know, Paul I'm acquainted with, but who are you? And because he does know us very well.
Yeah.
And that's why you have these itinerant Jewish exorcists, the seven sons of Sceva, who were well known at the time within the city of Ephesus. And so, as we mentioned, they see Paul performing these great miracles by the power of God and bringing healing to people's lives. And so they thought they would try their hand in what they assumed to be Paul's game. And so as they pronounce the name of the Master Jesus over their victims, and we've read the Bible, you know, as we mentioned, you know, you can't really just sort of laugh at what's happening here and just seeing what's happened to these seven sons of Sceva. And just picturing them, the demon-possessed man speaks back and then goes berserk on these seven brothers of Sceva, who run out of the house bleeding and naked. And you know, this beats any movie that you probably seen, seriously. And so the question comes to my mind then is that I ask the question, so why is this story in the Bible? And doing some contextual building here that leads to chapter 19, where we see why this story is here in the Bible, Jason, is that we know that the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit from chapter 1 that's leading up to chapter 19. And what we do see, therefore, is all this evidence of the Holy Spirit's reign in the church and what it can also do within our lives if we're willing to surrender to God and allow the Holy Spirit take charge of our lives. And so the Holy Spirit, as we've seen in the book of Acts, changes ordinary people into spiritual giants. In chapter 2 there, of the book of Acts, there is this miracle of tongues of fire that come upon the disciples. And as it does so, when you move into chapter 3, the healing, you have the story of the healing of a lame man. And then in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, the church prays such a prayer that the whole building shook. And then in chapter 5, you have the solemn judgment of the Holy Spirit upon a dishonest couple. In chapter 6, Stephen does great signs and wonders, that he is so filled with the Holy Spirit that he looks past the rocks thrown at his head, and Stephen looks right up into heaven. And then you have in chapter 7, Philip the deacon baptizes the Ethiopian, and then Philip is caught up by the Spirit and taken to his next appointment. And so you have Philip as the first bio there in chapter 8. And then in chapter 9, Saul is knocked off his horse, made blind, and then given his sight because he surrenders his life to God and the Holy Spirit takes over. And then you have in chapter 10, the Holy Spirit arranges a meeting between Peter and Cornelius. Chapter 11, more believers are added to the church because of the role of the Holy Spirit within the church. In chapter 12 of the book of Acts, Peter's miraculous release from prison while chained and between four guards. And it's a great story, that story there of Peter in chapter 12 of the book of Acts. And see, the word is getting out long before you get to chapter 19. And the word is that the Holy Spirit is doing miraculous and miracles within the church and within people's lives because they're surrendering their lives to God. And so these sons of Sceva have probably been hearing about all this across Asia Minor, of how the Holy Spirit has been doing stuff going and stuff that has been happening within the church. And if you watch it now, Jason, what we do see is that the fact the church has now power. And the point I'm saying is it doesn't mean that you have power, but the church has power through God because of the surrender of people's lives to Him. And so the seven sons of Sceva, they're hearing about this. And so they want a piece of it. And they want some of this action. And as you and I talked about, Jason, that's where the word vagabonds come in. They're a group of men who are roaming around trying to earn a living, and they're really scamming people, and pretending they have this power to exorcise evil spirits from their lives. But when they see Paul doing it, even just by clothing, handkerchiefs and rags, they say, hey, we want to be involved. We want part of this.
Mm.
But the question does come. And the question for me, Jason, is this. Are they willing to make the sacrifice of self that Paul has made? And that's, for me, the important question that comes from this story. And for our time together, dealing with the Holy Spirit.
It seems to me.
With the foolish.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, it seems to me as though they wanted some quick wins. They wanted to be part of the action, and they wanted to, it's almost like they wanted to cheat their way to being part of that movement.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, they weren't willing to make that sacrifice of self.
Mm.
And that's the question that you and I and our listeners need to make every day. Are we willing to make that sacrifice of self every day, just as Paul did within the story?
Mm.
And so the church folk should not be spending their time envying other church folk. We may be admiring someone else's prayer life, but hey, we can have a prayer life of our own.
Mm.
And you and I both know, Jason, that we are not going to heaven on the church worship of somebody else. Mm. And that was the problem with the five foolish virgins when they asked the five wise virgins for oil. And that's why it's time that we need this relationship with Jesus.
So
because it's only through that relationship with Jesus. Sorry, Jason.
That actually explains a question that I've had. It seems selfish that the other five virgins that had the oil were being selfish and not willing to share it. But the way you've just explained that there shows me that they could not share it because it's something that you have to have for yourself. So to have the relationship with the Holy Spirit is something that each person must have.
Exactly. Exactly right, Jason.
Mm.
And that's why they couldn't, because I can't pass on what I have to my kids.
Mm.
And that's why, you know, I'm reminding my kids every time we have family worship to continue to grow in their own relationship with Jesus. And that's why, I guess it's answering that question that we asked in the beginning. Why is it that the five foolish lacked oil?
Mm.
Absolutely. And we'll come back after the break, Jason, and we'll bring a summary to this story.
Absolutely. Our book offer today is by Ty Gibson, and it's titled See with New Eyes, the True Beauty of God's Character. To see most things, one's eyes needs to be open, but not so with God. If you open your eyes too wide or look too closely, you're likely to miss him while thinking you have seen him. Most of us make this very mistake. We look at people expecting to see God. We look at religions. We even look in the mirror. Inevitably, we are disappointed because we had hoped for a nicer picture of the Divine One. Countless people have turned away from God because they thought they saw him in a person or in a church, and quite frankly, they didn't like what they saw. There's another way to see God, and this book talks about it. See with new eyes, and so we do encourage you to stay tuned and get the code after the break. We'll give it to you straight after this beautiful song. This song is by Audrey Assad, and it's called Spirit of the Living God.
Oh, Spirit of the Living God, thou descend upon thy church once more and make it truly thine. Fill it with love and joy and power, with righteousness and peace, till Christ shall dwell in you. And sin and sorrow cease. Oh, 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 oh. Blow wind of God, with wisdom blow, until
oh.
You're listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and we're finishing our program today with Afi Tuawai, looking at Acts chapter 19 and the situation where the spirit that's in this boy or man calls out, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" So it's been an interesting study. Our book offer today, we talked about it before the break, See With New Eyes by Ty Gibson. Text in the code. We've just got two copies to give away, so you'll need to be quick. Text in the code SPIRIT32, 0488 880891 is the number. Text in SPIRIT32, no spaces, and you can claim a free book today. So back to the Sons of Sceva, Afi, you wanted to just recap on a few things from our story today.
Yeah, so just where we finished off, just talking about having our own relationship with the Lord and where the seven foolish virgins were lacking that oil because they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And the seven sons of Sceva, because chapter 19 of Acts and verse 14 tells us that their father was a chief priest. And so we can conclude then that their father was a church leader, a preacher. And these boys were therefore were what we call today PKs or pastor's kids. And so we can conclude then and that they probably would have known the church's doctrines, that they were Sabbath keepers. They kept the law, they gave their tithe, kept the diet. But it's amazing, though, Jason, how we can rely on that stuff and think that's all I need for my own spirituality. But spirituality really comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And these boys were probably active in the church, but they are described as exorcists. And I like to bring this quote from the inspired writer, Alan G. White, who makes his observation in the book Acts of the Apostles, page 287, where she says that sorcery had been prohibited, and yet these boys were willing and wanting to participate in this. And so as we conclude this morning therefore, Jason, and a lesson for us and the summary is that I've come to the point of our study this morning and like to make it plain here is that when the demon-possessed man says, "Jesus I know, Paul I'm acquainted with, but who are you?" Is that these seven boys of Sceva had the appearance of being believers, but in their quest for power, without submission, without surrendering to God, in their quest for power, really, it only leads to willing disobedience and really a good spanking from the devil. Because as you pointed out, Jason, that they wanted what Paul had without living as Paul lived, a life in Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and direct their life of surrender and sacrifice. And that can be also the problem with the five foolish virgins, that they wanted what the five wise virgins had, but they weren't willing to live a life of surrender to Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct in that. Because true sacredness without sacrifice really is impossible. Conversion without commitment is impossible. Redemption without reformation is impossible. And so the true Holy Spirit presence in the life without the cleansing of the life really is impossible as well. And so these seven sons of Sceva had stuff going on in secret. They had gotten into private exposure to demonic exposure and because of that, the devil was able to reply back to them, "Jesus I know, Paul I'm acquainted with, but who are you?" And so the question, Jason, for I like to bring to you and I and our listeners today is, how is your private life going? because the devil is looking at dulling our perceptions. And you made the point before, Jason, off air as we were talking, that the devil, who is our accuser day and night, that's what he's looking at doing and making us to do what we think is right and live a life we think is right without that surrender to God.
To do it within our own power and strength, not depending on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly. And so, friends, you know, I like to say that the devil knows Christ, and that's why he works on your life and mine to keep us away from Christ. Because we know that Jesus is our Savior. The devil is the destroyer. Jesus I know, Paul I'm acquainted with, and the important question is, who are you? Because the devil is saying, that's not who you really are. I know you, and I know who you really are. But we should be thankful, Jason, and I know we are this morning, that Jesus knows who we are as well. Because the Bible declares that you and I and our listeners have been bought with a price, not of our own. And Jesus desires to possess us, to own us, to have us, because he was able to take Paul the Apostle, this hard-headed, stubborn, vicious, and mean, and deceitful murderer, and the Lord knocked him off his horse and turned him into a great servant because he was willing to surrender to God. And sometimes, Jason, you know, God may need to knock us off. So whatever it may be, our chairs, where we're walking, where we're jogging, whatever we may be doing to get our attention. And if we're going to be stripped, I'd rather be stripped by God than that of the devil. Because the devil just wants to leave you and I naked, but God is willing to give you and I and our listeners the robe of righteousness. That's why David was able to declare that I'd rather be in the hands of God than the hands of men. And friends, listeners, God wants you to be in his hands today. He wants to be in your heart today. And for us to say to Jesus, thank you for knowing me. Jesus, as you know Paul, fill me today with the Holy Spirit. Take me and mold me as your will be, God. And so, Jason, that's our study dealing with the Holy Spirit. And thank you for allowing me to present that over the last month or two and for our listeners for listening.
I appreciate you presenting it, and I've learned some good things through this series of studies. Want to shout out to Vernon from the ACT and Asteri from Victoria, who were successful at claiming our book offer today. So we have now given away the two copies, so there's none left for today. So next, tomorrow, we've got David Maxwell and David Leo joining us, still continuing in the book of Revelation, and he's going to be looking at the beast from the sea in Revelation 13. So do join the two Davids tomorrow, or Max and Leo, as they call themselves. And, thank you for those who texted in to claim our book offer today, See New With New Eyes. It sounds like a very good book to read, so I hope you enjoy reading that when you receive it over the coming weeks and months as well. Arfi, thank you again, and we will talk to you again in the future. And we really appreciate your studies that you've been presenting. So as we go out today, this is Take Me Past, and by Matt and Josie Minicus. May you encounter Jesus more each and every day, and we pray that the Holy Spirit is with you more and more. Thank you, Arfi.
Thank you,
Take me past the outer courts into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I
hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the coat. Take me past the outer courts, into the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the cold. My lips, oh, here I am. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, oh, here I am.